Today we are continuing on with our sermon series based on Leonard Sweet's book, The Gospel According to Starbucks. And we've talked each week about something we could learn from the way Starbucks does business that's applicable to the church. If you remember the first week, we talked about in those letters that spell out epic, we talked about experiential worship, coming and experiencing God's presence. And if we could help people experience God's presence, that's what the church should be about. And last week we talked about participation and the importance that each and every one of us is called not just to attend worship on Sunday, but each of us is called to participate in the life of the church, to find a place to do ministry. We're all called to be in ministry in the church. And today we're talking about the third letter, the I, and we're talking about the importance of image-driven worship and image-driven church. And I don't mean that, oh, we've got a good image, though that's part of what I'm talking about, but we're talking about the importance overall of that concept of image. And today I thought I would start it out in a good way, because already today, if you're a visitor, you're probably wondering, now, does Jim always dress this way for worship? If you're not a visitor, you're wondering, did Jim just not have a clean shirt today? And with my wife in Tucson, that's a possibility. But what I want to say to you today is that I wore my robe today for a particular reason. Because just as anything in worship or anything in the worship space, all images carry with them more than just the thing itself. In this case, when some of you saw me in a robe, it brought back good memories. Sometimes through the church you were raised in. For others of you, you didn't like those robes and all the things that went with that kind of worship, and you're saying, I'll be glad when Jim doesn't have the robe on anymore. But no one is generally neutral about those sights and symbols that we have in the life of our church. Images are important to our worship experience. Images are important to our faith expression and to our faith journey. I've always wondered, in fact, if we thought about that just in the connection to the way we dream, if we wonder how important images are. Do anyone in here, do you ever dream in black and white? Do you ever dream where you're sitting in a chair doing nothing? Dreams usually are pictures. They're visual images about things we could do, things we could experience. And they're usually in bright technicolor. They're usually full of energy and enthusiasm and excitement, because that's what images can do for us in general. I think sometimes our life itself can be like a big movie. I don't know if any of you ever thought of your life as a movie. The question isn't whether it is a movie, but what kind of movie is your life? In the old days, we used to have a name for certain movies. They were called B-movies. B-movies never had the best actors and actresses. They never had the best locations. They never had the best script. That's why they were called a B, I guess, instead of an A. So I'm wondering, in your faith experience in the movie of your life, are you in a B-movie? Or are you in a blockbuster? That blockbuster is an interesting word, because I think it's the way we should approach our faith journey, our life together. Blockbuster, we hear that a lot. Oh, that movie was a blockbuster. And we just don't think much about it except thinking it was successful. But blockbusters originally met in the old days when movie theaters were downtown and not in malls or in giant places by themselves. People would go down and they would get in line to watch movies. And sometimes the line was so long you couldn't contain it on the block. And so they were blockbusters. So what kind of life do you want in your life of faith, in your journey? Are you willing to settle for a B-movie? Or do you want a blockbuster experience of God's presence in your life and on your journey? What I want to get across today is that images are so significant and important, and they are just packed in layer after layer of meaning. We see an image, a brand image, doesn't matter what it is, whether it's a church image or a secular one, and they speak volumes to us. Think about a couple of them today. Think about Pepsi. It's always one that comes to my mind. I don't like Pepsi, But I've always thought it was amazing that they've got that symbol that's like a yin and a yang symbol. And I don't know if you ever knew that or not, but that's really what it's based on. And Pepsi has that symbol. And when I see that symbol, they don't even have to put the name above it, do they? You know it's a Pepsi when you see the symbol. Or how about Mercedes-Benz? Their little circle with the lines through it that looks like a propeller or something. I don't know what they call it. But I do know this. At the end of their television commercials, that's the last thing you see. Because they know you're seeing more than just that image. You're seeing the car behind that image. You're seeing what's there. An image is important. Or how about the one probably the most well-known today of all? It's that Nike one. You know what it is? It's the what? It's the swoosh. Got to say it right. I mean, that's a Nike way. But you've got it right. It's the swoosh of Nike, and everybody knows it. It looks like a big check mark, doesn't it? But you know when you see it what it stands for. That's why image is so important to us. Starbucks itself is built on image. When I am driving down the road, I'm always looking for a Starbucks sign. I seldom get fooled. I got fooled the other day. The nice thing about a Starbucks sign, it's that green and black and white. It stands out to me when I'm going past a shopping center with all those little stores in it. I don't have to look for the word. I just look for the sign and the color. Well, I was in Zionsville the other day. I had a meeting. And I'm driving down, I thought, I have time for a Starbucks. And I see the sign and I pull in, and it's not open yet, they're building it. Boy, I was disappointed because when I saw the image, I anticipated the experience and the participation in a Starbucks. And I just want to say to us, it's so important for us to remember the importance that image has. It's been so important through the years too. Back in the Middle Ages, wealthy Christians used to have their metal cups, and there would be these like big goblets, and in the inside of the metal cup, by the way, these were called plaquettes, on the inside of the metal cup, they would pay an artist to create a religious scene. And so every time they would lift the cup to their mouths, they would see the image. And it wasn't just the image, they remembered the scene behind the image. Pope Benedict XVI chose to have emblazoned on all he did, on his clothes, on his banners, everything, a seashell. A seashell for us represents several things in Christianity. It reminds us of our baptism and who we're connected to. It reminds us of the sea that's bigger than anything we could imagine. And that's what Pope Benedict wanted to express. He wanted people to see the image and know his connection to God and the wideness of God. I want to say today that words aren't important, because words are important. I'm not asking you to say, okay, we're just going to stick with images and no words. It's not an either or, it's a both and. If you don't believe me that words are very important, we've got a quiz today. If you were in a building and you noticed something in the corner and you saw it there and it was red and it was yellow and it was hot and it was consuming paper and all of these things and it was spreading around the building and you wanted to let people know, what would you yell? Fire. Yeah, you wouldn't yell conflagration. Now, conflagration is another word for fire, but you wouldn't yell that, would you? Everybody would look at you, but nobody would leave. Words are important. They carry depth and meaning. There's a hymn that was written by John Newton several hundred years ago. And his original title had something to do with the discussion of the review of our expectations. Now, have any of you ever sang that hymn? Now, I'm guessing most of you have. Because before he decided to send that hymn out to the publisher, he changed the name to Amazing Grace. Now, which would be easier to sing, you think? Do you see the importance of words? I don't want to belittle words. What I want to say is that it's important that what's behind the words. Even biblically, we understand that, don't we? Is it one of the greatest phrases we use at Christmas time? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You see, that's what words can do for us, not just the Word of God that became that tangible, touchable image like the video showed, that image that we could look to Jesus when we want to know what God looks like, what God means to us. But it's important for us to understand that the Word is there in image for us now, and not just a word on a paper, but a living and alive image that is accessible for each and every one of us. When you want to think of God and you're looking for somehow to get an inspiration of God's presence in your life, do you just look at words? Or do you take the chance to look at biblical images? What images of God from the Bible become alive for you when you're wanting to experience God? One of my favorites has to do with Jacob wrestling with the angel. Because it seems like often my relationship with God is often wrestling. And I'm wrestling to do what I want instead of what God wants. God always seems to win. But that's one of the images that's so important for me in my faith journey. Another one that I've grown into understanding is the one from the Old Testament where they talk about the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant is where the Ten Commandments are. And everywhere the people of God go, the Ark goes with them through the desert, up the mountain, across the water. And that image of God's presence with me is so important, and I need to be reminded of that. What biblical images do you have that are important? Sometimes I like to think of the parables, because Jesus talked in stories, and stories truly are word pictures. They're images. I read a quote this week when I was preparing for the message about J.K. Rowling's books. Anybody ever heard of J.K. Rowling? I thought maybe a couple of you had. Best known for her Harry Potter books. Yeah, it's been said of Rowling that what makes her books so spectacular are it's not like you're reading the book, it's like you're seeing it happen. That's what images do for us. In fact, have you ever read a book first and then went and saw a movie and you just didn't like it because none of the characters were the way you pictured them? It's so important because images speak volumes to us, and once we know the image or experience the image, it becomes important. Much as Trevor said about the icons, images are not our experience of God, but they do put a frame around that experience. And so for those today that came and they saw my robe and they said, oh, that's kind of a nice, warm, fuzzy memory for me. Somebody said it to me right when I came in today. They like robes occasionally, and they like to have those memories from the past. And so there's an image they associate with that. And yet I talked to someone else that had a bad image of a robe at one time because of something that went on in their life. So whether it's robes or whether it's casual, I mean, maybe you grew up in a church where the pastor never wore a robe. And so to see a robe, it doesn't help the image. And in fact, it inhibits it. So images are only so much. We have here today, I've got this sitting up here, I'm not going to pick it all the way up so this doesn't fall down, but maybe I will, is a hymnal. Now, did anyone in here ever sing from a hymnal? Raise your hands. See? Now some of you, that's a good memory. For others of you, you're reminded of a faith time in your life maybe that was drab or you didn't like. Some of you have only sang music on a screen. It doesn't matter. Not what he is. By the way, this is really important. If you don't remember anything else today, chances are you won't. So if you don't remember anything else, the way, the image that we experience, you see, it's not important about which way we do it. What is important is about the experience we have. Are you experiencing God's presence? And you shouldn't tie God's presence to whether the pastor wears a robe or not. Whether we sing from a hymnal or not, whether we sit in pews or chairs, should not matter. What matters is the experience of God's presence that the image can bring to us. The real question for people of faith is a simple one. What image can we create that will make God visible? I mean, that's really what it's about, isn't it? It doesn't matter what the image is, but what image can we come out with? when we leave this church, what image can we leave with that will make God visible, not only for us, but for others? And I think it's so simple that sometimes we miss it. Because the image that makes God real is an authentic experience of God. When you come to church on Sunday morning, what you should be seeking through the images that you see, no matter what they are, whether it's the image of the band, whether it's the image of the pastor, whether it's the cross behind us, whether it's the communion table, whether it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's the stained glass, does the image help you receive an authentic experience of God? And that way, when you leave, you can share your authentic experience with others. In Scripture, God came to us in images from the very beginning. I think God knew that words wouldn't be enough. I think God knew somehow that we needed more than words. And so He came in the pillar of fire. He came in the cloud. And then later, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. All of our faith is built on image, the image of Jesus. That video said it well, didn't it? We may never see in this life God the Creator, but we know God through His Son, Jesus Christ. In fact, in Colossians, it says in Colossians that we experience God, the God we can never see, through His Son who is here. The image is so important to our faith. But what's most important is that as we come to church on Sunday morning, that the words that we experience and the images that we experience are not just up in front of us, but they become an interactive experience for us. I mean, interactive is really important because an image without action is just a pretty picture. I hold in before me a bowl. Now, if you just look at it, it's just a nice brown bowl, isn't it? You could take this bowl home with you and you could cook some soup for lunch and put in it. You could do whatever you want with it. In this bowl, I have some water. And in the first service, we use the water from this bowl for baptism. And when you baptize, the water becomes more than the image of water. It represents the God of power and love that's behind it. And so often when I do baptisms, I like to take the water, and I like to walk around. I like to just take it like that, and I like to go like that. I like to take it because there's one thing about this, the whole process of this, that's so important. This isn't just water. It's a representation of the living God and the living God's presence behind us. And what it says to me is remember your baptism. And not just remember it, but be thankful for your baptism. Be blessed by that baptism. The water is more than just an image. It's a reminder of the living and loving God with us and present with us. And so we come to worship, and why image is so important is that you come, you experience, you become interactive with it, and then you take it home with you. It doesn't do any good if you leave it here, but you take it home with you, you remember it, you live with it, you practice it, you pray it. Jesus was an interactive presence among us. Jesus liked to use props. Don't think of a better name than a bowl and water. He used coins when he told stories. He used dirt and water made mud on a blind man's eyes to highlight the experience. He took a few loaves and a few fish and fed the multitudes. When a woman was caught in adultery, he could have just told the story about not judging, but he didn't do that. He got down and he wrote in the dirt. I don't know what he wrote, but it must have been powerful. But you know, every eye was on him, and the experience of God was not just hearing him, it was interacting with him. John Calvin, a couple hundred years ago, was worried about the people of the church having images or pictures of God. He was so worried about it that he said, you shouldn't have an image of God at all because with our minds we'll just mess it up. Now, I do believe he was right, but John forgot one thing, that we also can make an idol out of words. And words can become important. And they can become an idol if they become too important. So what we need to do in the process is not get stuck on the pictures and not get stuck on the words, but interact with that presence of God. I do believe that the incarnation, the coming of Jesus in flesh, I truly believe in the bottom of my spirit, in the depths of my soul, that that was God's affirmation to us of the importance of image. Because God no longer just sent words of a prophet, but God sent the image of the living God. We are connected to that living God in our spirit, and we are images of God. I mean, Linda said it in the last service. She said that part of the story of creation that we should never forget is this divine piece of our creation. We are connected and part of the God. We are living representations. But you wonder, or I wonder, what representation are we making? What image are we showing others? That's the real question of our image, isn't it? When you leave on Sunday morning, what image of you do other people receive? When people come in for the first time on Sunday morning and they've never been here, what image of our church do they receive? Is it a good image? A bad image? Are they feeling God's presence? You see, because ultimately, no matter whether we could build up here, we could build the world's largest cross, but if we're not showing the image of God to others, it's not going to matter. We could have the best stained glass ever made, but if we're not reflecting the image of God to others, it won't matter. I always say this is why we decorate ourselves. We do. I think we decorate ourselves because we're scared that if somebody really saw us, they wouldn't want to be here. And so just a week or two, Advent will begin, and we'll decorate the sanctuary. And we'll put up all this stuff, and we'll be reminded that Christmas is coming, and we get close, and we'll put up poinsettias, and all of those wonderful things. We'll have the right colors, the right mood, the right atmosphere. And I think we decorate ourselves because we're scared what we might see. We just don't do it as a church, we do it as individuals. How many of you in this room have a cross necklace? Come on, raise your hands. How many in this room have something that says WWJD? Oh, a little less. How many in this room have a Christian t-shirt? Another good group. I think we decorate ourselves because we're scared no one will know we're a Christian if we're not decorated. And so there's nothing wrong with wearing a cross. I own several. But it's better, if you can, to show it with the image of your life you present. There have been two songs in recent years that have reminded me of that. And one is, I can't hear the words you're speaking. Your actions are too loud. And the other one is, don't tell them Jesus loves them till you're ready to love them too. The words don't matter. It's the action and the image that we present. I think we even decorate our cars because we're not sure. Because you sure couldn't tell we were followers of Christ by the way we drive. So maybe if you see that little magnetic fish, you'll get it. But otherwise, you're not going to have a clue. You know, every time I get passed on the interstate by a church van going about 95, I always think, I wonder if they know the image they're presenting to people. And so we do decorate our lives at times. But we have to remember that it's us. It's me. It's you. We are the ones that are called to have an authentic experience of the risen Christ here, so we can demonstrate that through action and words and deeds and image to other people. We need to have that. The image is important. Not because people will say, oh, geez, you know, isn't that a great place to go to church? They've got a nice sign. Oh, isn't that a great place to go to church? I had coffee there and bought one of their coffee cups. You know, isn't that a great place to go to church for this reason or that reason? But no, isn't that a great place to go to church? Because I had an authentic experience of God in the people, in the images, in the word proclaimed among us. That's so important that we share that. On Sunday morning, I mean, I think we should be so friendly when people come in. Starbucks, and when you go to a Starbucks, they have the friendliest employees in the world. I don't know how they do it. I don't know if there's like a test you take to work there, but maybe we should give that test to people here, because they're so friendly and they're so compassionate and caring, and they want you not just to buy a coffee, but to have an experience. We have a woman in our church. I talked to her after the last service so I could use her name. And her name is Leisha. They've been coming here for several months. And Leisha told me she was at work one day, and this woman that she hadn't worked with in a while, because she kind of moves around in her job, said, "Geez, what's going on with you? You seem so happy. I mean, things seem very positive in your life right now." And she kept saying this and didn't give Leisha a chance to answer. And before Leisha could answer, she said, "Are you going to church?" And Leisha said, "Well, yes, we are. And I just feel so wonderful about the experience." You see, that's what we should be willing to offer. That's what should happen to each and every one of you. You should come here and have an authentic experience when you meet the risen Christ here, and you should want to share it. Because the truth is, and this is the truth, it doesn't matter what else we do, it won't matter. If you like traditional worship and you want us to be more traditional, We can add all of the robes, and everybody up here can wear a robe. I mean, we can sing that doxology after the offering each week that they do in traditional worship. We can add all the bells and smells we want, and it's not going to change anyone's experience, authentic experience of God here. So the image is only so much. Now, if you like contemporary worship, modern worship, what we do here, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, we can add more cowbell, and it's not going to matter. Right, Dan? I mean, every band needs a little more cowbell. But we can add all of it we want, and it's not going to matter. What we have to have is the image that we have an authentic experience of God here. And when you come to Christ Church, you're going to have that experience. And that is my wish for each of us. Next week, as we finish this series, we're going to talk about the importance of connection, of connectivity as we are together, and the importance of being in ministry together. And we're going to have visual things to do with our ministry fair all over here, because we want you to participate, because we believe it's in participation, it's in experience, it's in receiving the image of God and connecting to others, that we can make a difference in the world. Won't you join us and help us reach others in the name of a loving God? Amen.